Thank you for that introduction, Tim. That is very kind and very sweet. We're going to be in Proverbs 24, verse 16 today. If you want to open that up in your Bible, you can. Or we've got, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's one on the back if you want to use, or we'll have them up on the screen as well. Thank you via Stephen for that. I'm just going to turn, I'm going to pause, I'm going to pray for us again right now while you pull up that passage. God, we love you. We love you and we come before you, God. This morning, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you that you are in the midst of us, God. I ask that you come down now and that you speak to the people here in this room and anybody who would listen to this recording as well, God. We ask that your hand, your eyes would be turned towards us, God. I ask that any of my words would just fall away, God, but that you would come in, that you would penetrate, that you would speak, God. I pray that we leave this place changed, that we leave this place different. God, we ask that your fire will fall. And to anything else in this room that is not of God, we say you must be silenced in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can speak and breathe and move in this place. We pray this all right now in the name of Jesus. So just over a year ago, I went to this worship night. And as you probably know, there wasn't a lot of those happening at that time, and I was really excited about it. I was really excited that there was this worship night going on, and I actually went with my sister Rissa. She took me, and we went together, and it was really beautiful. You could feel the presence of God in that place. And people were really engaged with worship, and this is like my favorite thing to go to. But that night, I didn't feel connected, I didn't feel engaged, and I felt very closed off and shut down. And I could see everybody else around me being engaged and being in the moment, and I wasn't. I felt really disconnected, and I could feel this heaviness and this weight, and it's like I wanted to connect with worship, but then I also didn't at the same time. I don't know if you've had moments like that where you see other people and you're like, I want to be doing that, but I also, there's these things that are holding me back, and I'm really holding on to them tightly. And that night, I felt God slowly bringing me to release and to open up, and as I felt him helping me open up to him, the verse Proverbs 24:16 came to me. I don't know if it was one of those moments where I opened up my Bible and I started reading it, or if it came to my mind, or how it quite happened, but that verse, I started meditating on it and thinking on it, and there was a fire that fell on that verse for me, and I knew it wasn't just for me, and so I started sharing it with other people there that night, and that verse has been coming up again lately. It has been coming up again. It's been coming up in conversations that I've been having with people, and I realized I think it was time to share it with you all now. So I'm really excited about it, and I know God will come today. It might not look exactly like it did that night, but I am trusting and believing that God has something specific for you and has brought this verse to mind again. So the verse is Proverbs 24:16. Though the righteous man fall seven times, they rise again. And there's more to that verse, and I want to get to that later. But I want to share with you today that revelation, what God has been teaching me in this verse. And I think this message is for everyone, because from the moment that we were children, from the moment we started walking, we've been falling down. Every single person that is walking around here today started from the same place of walking and falling down. Now, we might not be falling down so much physically now, but we all have our moments, right? We all have our moments where we feel down. I know I've been feeling that a lot personally lately in these past couple weeks and the past few months and even in the past few years. But there's things that God has been teaching me about getting back up that I want to share with you. Because I believe life does not revolve around how, when, or where we fall, but that life is lived in the getting up. Life is lived in the rising again. So today I want to talk about the falling down, the getting back up, and the living a life with bounce. And what's funny today is I prayed at the beginning, and normally I pray here, so I'm just going to do one more prayer for us, because that's just what I am feeling right now. So God, we just thank you. We just thank you for what you are doing and how you are speaking, and we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here with us, and we thank you that you are moving, and we thank you for how you are going to speak this morning, God. We turn our eyes and we fix our eyes on you, God. And I ask just again, I ask that you come in and you speak and you touch. That you encourage our hearts, that we can see who you are calling us to be, where you are calling us. And God, I ask that you will make us a people who will rise. A people of people who will rise. In the name of Jesus, we pray this all. So the falling down. Growing up, I knew this verse. Proverbs 24:16, though the righteous man falls 7 times, they rise again. But it played out a little differently in my mind. I don't know if this is how you guys were as a kid, but I feel like as children, we take what adults say and we translate it something in our mind that will make sense to us. You know, like sometimes as a kid, I'd be like, Mom, I'm hungry. But that really meant, you know, hey, can I have a cookie? But, you know, we take their words and we translate it into something that makes sense for our world. So when I heard this verse as a kid, the Alana Child translation of this verse went something like this. When a Christian sins and makes a mistake, they will do better next time. Which isn't, I think, a bad version, but that was the version that I had up until last year. That was the version that was going through my mind. And at this worship night a year ago, something new hit me with this verse. This verse came and it had a new revelation to it. And I didn't realize it at the time, but what God was showing me was actually the pieces of the second part of this verse and connecting them together. So I want to take a look at the second part of this verse, which is, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So the combination of this verse, the whole of it together, is for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. This is your first notes on your sheet to fill in. And so if we look at this verse together, you'll see the differences. And the differences between the righteous and the wicked, right? The righteous rise and the wicked stumble. But what is the situation that is given? And this is the next thing to fill in. The situation that we are dealing with in this moment is when calamity strikes. Calamity. And that feels a little different from the child version of Alana calling it just sin. Other versions of the Bible for that word calamity and that those words calamity strikes, they will use words like disaster, in bad times, in times of disaster, in troubles, under adversity, and when trouble strikes. And I realize that those things sound different than sin. These are words that you would describe about things that are happening to us and things that are happening around us. And when I was at that meeting a year ago, I started to realize that. I started to be consumed with those thoughts and I started to feel the weight of what that meant. To continue to get up, not from making a mistake, but from falling down, from being metaphorically pushed down, from my heart being crushed, being broken into pieces, and that this was God's promise, that this is what I would rise from the heartaches, from the sadness, from the grief, from disappointment, from feeling like I lost again, from anxiety, from depression, from hope being deferred again, that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will rise again. This is what God was speaking to me. He was speaking directly to what I was going through, to the low place that I was in. God was going to help me out of it. And even though he had helped me time and time again, see, that was the thing. I was coming to God and I felt down. I felt low. I didn't want to open up in worship because I was down yet again. And I know I have stories of God having helped me up. But I was at this point where I was like, again? Do I have to ask for help again? Am I in this place again? Am I coming back to God again? Broken again? Hurt again? Disappointed? You know how you, like, you'll have conversations with people and maybe it's a bad connection on the phone or something, and or maybe it's a, like, a bad Zoom connection or something. You're like, what? Sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry, what did you say again? And there gets to be a point, I don't know about you, but I definitely get to a point where I'm embarrassed and I don't want to ask again. You're just like, okay, I'll just smile and nod because it's just embarrassing to ask that like fourth or fifth time. But what God was showing me is that that's not him. That's not what he is like. I was down on my knees again, feeling broken, feeling low, feeling torn apart. And God's like, it's okay. A righteous man falls down 7 times and he still gets up again. God is limitless. We can ask him to repeat himself as many times as we need to. We can ask him for help as many times as we fall down. We can ask him to remind us of truth, to remind us of who he is, of who we are. There isn't a limit to that. We can, even if we've asked time and time and time and time and time and time again, he will meet us. He will help us up. Because that is who he is, and that is what he wants for us. And I want to take a moment, because I want you to be confident of truth. I don't want there to be a question about who you are or who God is. Because you might be sitting there saying right now, this doesn't apply to me. I am not a righteous man. But there's 3 verses I want to read to you right now. Specifically 3, just for right now. And they're on your sheet because I wanted you to have these. Colossians 1:22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. His wonderful light. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the good stuff, God. If you know these verses, I want them to let you, I want you to just let them sit with you for a moment. I actually want to read them over again one more time. If you don't know these truths, if you don't know this to be true for you, I want you to know that if you receive God, if you receive him as king over your life, and if you receive his forgiveness, this is true for you as well. I'm going to read them through one more time. You can close your eyes if you want to and just sit and soak in them. I'm not going to read the references this time. I'm just going to read the words. And let it sink in. Let it soak in. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus came. Jesus came with no sin. And he came so that we would become the righteousness of God. So we can claim this verse. I want you to know that you can claim this verse. Though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise. Friends, though we are beaten down, though times of disaster and trouble come, we will rise. So the getting back up. You might ask the question, how? How do you keep getting back up again? And this is the next thing for you to fill in on your notes. And the first thing that I want you to know is that it is a promise. It's a promise. This isn't something that might happen. This is something that God has spoken and declared over our lives. Friends, you were born to rise. Someone texted a friend of mine recently, and they said, remember, God will never leave you or forsake you. That's our advantage compared to anyone else. That's our advantage. And they're referring to Hebrews 13:5, which is keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Friends, God with us is our unfair advantage. We're celebrating the Christmas season. And the Christmas season is about Jesus coming, God being with us. Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is what we're celebrating right now. Friends, this is the season we are celebrating God with us. And if hearing the fact that God is with you doesn't excite your heart, and if you don't know the beauty of what this means and what this feels like and what life looks like with that, let us pray for you, please. We want you to know and to experience what that is to have God with you. But we come back to this question, how do we rise? How do we take hold of this promise? God is with us, but what does this all do? How do we get up? What does it look like to get up with him? And I'm sure there are so many ways, but these are a few that I've been learning in this season, and this is what I wanted to share with you. One is to turn your eyes, to turn our eyes to Jesus. I had a friend recently reach out to me who, in a more corporate sort of setting, in a large setting, felt very beat down. Things were coming against them. They could just see things not coming together, and they felt this heavy, heavy, heavy weight. And they said, so we decided to worship. We decided corporately as a group we were going to worship. And she said that changed everything. And she reached out to me because I was going through, we work in a similar field, and I was going through some of the same things. And she's like, I want to encourage you to worship because it changes everything. So friends, turn your eyes to Jesus. Worship. See that he is there. Ask Jesus. Ask him to see his eyes looking at you. And see what happens. Put on worship music, dance, move around. I'm kind of a more movie sort of person, but there's something to it, even if you're not, to get your whole body, full body, into agreement with truth. I think there's great power that comes when we come into agreement with truth. So get your whole body involved. Doesn't have to be big, but get involved. There was something as I was working on this message that came to me too. I was sitting on the couch, and my sister's dog was on my lap sitting there, and he was with me, and I saw that he was very much with me, but I was like, what happens when I say his name? So I was like, Earl, and he popped up and he looked at me, and I his full attention, and I was like, man, Jesus is always with us. He's always with us. But what changes when you say his name? He looks at you and you look at him and you have a connection. You have a moment. So I just want to, side note, challenge you all. Say Jesus' name and see what happens. Say his name and see what happens. To the next way that I found that is helpful for getting up is forgiveness. Because when we're beat down, sometimes people are not involved, but sometimes they are. Sometimes people are involved, and if we're going to give up, if we're going to get up, we need to forgive them. And here's the thing about forgiveness. It's something we give because it's something we have been given. Give and given are both within the word forgiveness. And a story that I want to share with you that just hit this so clearly to me recently. So some of you know that I do theater, musical theater, and I work with kids a lot. And when that happens, when you work with kids, we do funny things like theme days or whatever. And so one of the theme days I said was like, let's do a nerd day. Let's do a theme day of being all nerds showing up. I thought this was kind of going to be like, you know, math nerds, like geek nerds, that kind of way. And my team was like, what if we did Star Wars nerds or Lord of the Rings nerds? And I was like, cool, I actually have a ton of Lord of the Rings nerd stuff. My cousin had passed away a couple years ago, and my aunt had been cleaning out, and my cousin absolutely loved everything Lord of the Rings. She had all these Renaissance dresses and all this stuff, and so my aunt was like, here, you do theater, give them to your theater people. And we hadn't gotten to that giving away part yet. They were just like still sitting there. So I was like, oh, I've got all this stuff. I've got all these dresses. Let's put them on. Let's use them. And so we did. And this one girl also, who loves all that like Renaissance fair stuff, was like, man, this stuff is so cool. She's like, if you don't use them, like if you're going to give them away, can I buy some from you? And I looked at her and I was like, no, you can't buy this stuff. I was like, this was my cousin's. This was her heart. This is what she loved. Like, it's not mine. It was hers. And I was just given it to give away. You can have that, but I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm not going to make money off her death. It was what she loved. It's yours to have if you want it. And it hit me that I think this is what Jesus meant. We didn't pay for our righteousness. We didn't pay for our forgiveness. We don't have a right to charge people for what they've done to us. Sometimes I have felt that in the past where I want to. I'm like, you stole that from me. You hurt me. I want you to pay that back. But my forgiveness, I didn't pay for that. Jesus didn't charge us for what he did for us. And I think that that's what God wants us to do for others. Is to say, my forgiveness is not mine. It's Jesus's, and I'm not going to make money. I'm not going to make profit off of his death. I'm going to give you freely what I have been given freely. And this is what Jesus calls us to in Matthew 10:8. That's what he says. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We need to give freely. We need to give forgiveness, because sometimes when we're beaten down, people are involved with that. So let's forgive and rise. Let us forgive and let us rise. And the last piece that I have been learning in this season, again, I think there's so many other ways, but the last thing that I have been learning is it's okay to not have it all together. I remember in the past, I would reach out to Tim and be like, I don't know if I can make it to church today. I don't have it all together. I don't know if I have it in me to, like, get all dressed up, put makeup on, do my hair. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't showered yet. And he's just like, come. Just come. And so I'd throw on whatever clothes I, like, had clean, and I would just show up to church. And it was so good. It was so good. And I love it when I talk to people and people are here, like, they're like, I made it to church. I made it to church. And they're like, I went through this and I went through that and I went through the other. Sometimes we have to rise 7 times just to get to church. And I love that. Not that I love you went through that, but I love that you made it. I love that you got up again and again and again and you didn't let it stop you. We're a family. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to have it all together. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me.'" Recently, I had this time where I felt like I couldn't keep going, and I needed to show up, and I didn't know what to do, and this thought came to me, what if I just showed up broken? What if I went, but let myself not try and pretend to be perfect, but just showed up the way that I was? And so I did, and God showed up too. And that's all I needed, was to go. Just to go. As myself, I did what I was able, and God, in his perfectness, in his power, did the rest. Sometimes we need to let ourselves be where we're at and let God be the powerful God that he is. And it's okay to be weak, for he is strong. And if we are to be people that bring glory to him, his power is made perfect in our weakness. So stop fighting it. Stop trying to put on a facade. Be yourself. Just come and be, and let God be him, and let his power be displayed in your life. So finally, I just want to come closing up here with the final point of living life with bounds. Because life isn't just about getting up once, right? It's about that living and getting up 7 times. And the next note you have here on your outline is that I've heard it said that the role of a parent is to teach their children how to return to joy. To teach their children how to return to joy. David Tenson has taught extensively on this. And I want you to think about it. When you think about a kid who scrapes his knee, skins his knee, and the parent who's there, who comes, comforts, might like clean the wound out to make sure it doesn't get infected. And the whole point, right, is to bring your child back to wholeness, to bring them back to joy, to bring them back to their body being able to heal. And things get bigger as we get older, but the point is still the same. If we are still continually able to return to joy, if we can get back up and get back into joy, then the things around us, the hardships around us, will not keep us down. We will not be taken out if we know how to return to joy. I remember as a kid, my mom praying over me that things would be able to roll off my back like the way that water rolls off a duck's. That just rolls off. She would just pray that things would just roll off my back. Now, maybe you didn't have parents that like taught you that, or maybe you don't know how to do that. And if so, I would love for us to pray with you. I would love to be able to meet with you and pray that God would teach you and help you to return to joy. Because again, we're in this Christmas season, right? Which is celebrating that Jesus is the joy to the world. And that is what God wants us. He wants us to return to him, to keep coming back to him. So what does this look like? What does it look like to return to joy? I just have a couple little points here. Some of them are things we've already been going over. Forgiving, worshiping, turning our eyes back to Jesus, being thankful. Do your Emmanuel journaling like I taught a few months ago. Ask someone to pray with you. Feel free. Let the tears flow. Let yourself cry for a moment. I don't know about you, but in worship, so many times tears come because it's a release from the heaviness and the weight of the things that I have been feeling. And finally, seek, look out, look and find and seek out the presence of God. And again, this comes through so many ways, but worship, prayer, let scripture play in the background. Let your body express, come into agreement with truth. God's desire is to continue to bring us back to himself. In the Passion Translation in Psalm 19, verse 8, I just want to read you a portion of what that psalm is. In that verse, it goes, his commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. Like, that's the God we serve. We serve a God who wants us close to his heart. So I hope as you walk out of this place, that you will know that as calamity strikes, as things around you are hard and painful, that there is a promise that you will rise. And I pray that you will leave this place with more tools on how to live a life with a bounce and how to return to joy. And that you will know that life doesn't revolve around how, when, or where you fall, but life is lived in the giving, getting back up. Life is lived in the rising again. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here a second. And I have one more passage I want to read over you. It's long, but what else are we here for other than to worship Jesus and to spend time in his word in the scripture? This is Romans 8, 31 through 39, and it's in the New Living Translation because it just, the way that it speaks this is so, so beautiful. So just take a moment. The words will be up on the screen if you want to, of the verse, if you want to follow along, or feel free to just close your eyes and let it sink in deep. Let it sink in deep, this truth. Starting in verse 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, you will rise. You are destined to rise. Let us